Testing. Good morning, everyone. Glad everyone that is here. We do have a little small group today. The Ash family is often their family shindig. I think they're traveling home this afternoon, so keep them in your prayers for safe travels. If you would, though, it's a little of the warm. You've noticed in the back foyer is pretty warm. You can kind of keep in mind, kind of maybe keep our doors closed as much as possible. Try to keep the auditorium somewhat cool here. So anyway, Christy will be leading us in the worship this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Whoever wants to can stand with me. We're a small group today, but if Jesus is there, if two or three of us are here together, then that's fine with me. I just invite you all to come before his throne this morning with me. Let's put aside our distractions, all the stuff that's gone on during the week and what happened this morning and getting all the kids ready and everything, and just bow before the throne. Thank you. me close to you. on my hand, okay? Are there very many kids today? A couple kids? Sadie and Audric, do you not want to come up here? Okay. That's fine. How are you today?
Good.
Good? How are you, Annika? Good?
No.
No? Okay. This morning, I wanted to talk about something that we do usually when somebody gives us something. So somebody gives you a huge present, all wrapped up in beautiful bows and wrapping paper and stuff. What do you usually think of saying?
Thank you.
That's right. That's right. What about if somebody makes you a delicious meal, your favorite meal? What's your favorite meal, Sadie? Do you know what your favorite meal is? Do you have one?
Pasta.
Pasta?
Pasta.
What's your favorite meal?
Pizza.
Pizza? What's your favorite food?
Lunch.
Yeah? Tacos?
Nobody
tacos? Elias,
tacos.
Tacos? Good answer. If somebody feeds you your absolute favorite meal and you love it, what do you normally think of saying? Same thing? Thank you. And you do you say it because you kind of, you know, have to. That's what you're supposed to say. And they give you a big meal and you're like, thank you. Is that what you do? Sometimes maybe, right? But when you really are happy about it and you're really wanting to let them know how happy you are about it, it usually comes out a little different, right? Like how? If you have like the best thank thing you've ever said, yeah, thank you, or thank you so much, right? Well, there were some people that Jesus met that had that issue too, okay? So one day, Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. It says he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Those were two different places in that area. You want to change places? Okay, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. Does anyone know what lepers are?
No.
Lepers are somebody who has a very, very difficult disease called leprosy. I think it was more common in that area in that time. And people that had leprosy, they had to stay away from other people far outside the city so they didn't get everyone else sick. It was really hard, really sad. So anyways, he met a group of 10 lepers. They stood at a distance because they weren't supposed to get close to people. And they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. That's interesting, huh? That was what was in the law for the lepers to do. So, as they went to do what Jesus said, they were cleansed. Do you know what that means? That means they were made better. They didn't have leprosy anymore. Can you imagine? We've all been sick, right? And we've always gotten better. It usually takes a few days at least. But what if you were like at your sickest, and all of a sudden, boom, you were better. Nothing hurt anymore. Your nose wasn't running. Your cough didn't happen anymore. All of a sudden like that. That's what happened to these people. They were just walking along and they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. That's like what we were talking about, like when we have our favorite meal or when somebody gives us an amazing present. This was an amazing present that Jesus gave them. He basically gave them their life back. And he realized that, and he was so happy he started praising God. And he came to Jesus and gave him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. That means he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't one of the people that were in that land. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So, did they all say thank you to Jesus?
No.
How many?
One.
Just one. That's weird, huh? What did the other people think, do you think? They also got healed, it sounds like. But I don't know what they thought. They just got distracted. Sometimes that happens to us too, doesn't it? Where we have something really good. Maybe even someone gives us a present. And we get so excited about the present, we forget to say anything to the people that gave it to us. Yeah. Like you get the present, you're like, oh, what's in there? Let's hurry up and open it. Let's see what it is. Oh, it's a car. Great, I'm going to go play. You forget to look back at the person who kindly gave you that and tell them thank you. In Colossians, actually in many places in the Bible, but the one I just read was Colossians, it says to be thankful. Thankful just means, what do you think?
I read the same thing.
Yeah. What does being thankful mean?
Happy.
Happy? Yeah, that's part of it. Having like thank you in your heart, right? Being full of thanks. So it says, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Okay, so that's talking about being like that one leper who, instead of just going his way and getting distracted, he came back to Jesus and he said, thank you. He was singing praises to God. And that's how we can do it. How can we give thank you to God? Any ideas? We can just tell him thank you, right? Mm-hmm. When we pray, when we talk to God, we can tell him thank you. That's why we usually stop before we eat our dinner or our meal and say, thank you, God. Thank you for this food. It's not because God said, you may not eat a bite of food unless you still pray first. No, it's just because we want to be thankful. We want to remember to stop and look back at God and tell him, thank you for what you've given us. And you know what? Thankfulness actually helps us too. It's weird, but that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately. If we're feeling, upset about what we don't have, maybe we didn't get the car that we were hoping we would get, we got a different one. Or maybe dinner wasn't what our favorite meal was. It wasn't tacos. It was zucchini. Or maybe we had to do something it wasn't our favorite thing to do. But when we stop and we remember to be thankful, it really changes things. Or if we're feeling worried and anxious, like, oh no, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know if you guys ever feel that way or not. But sometimes us adults tend to feel that way. What's going to happen tomorrow? Or how am I going to do this? Or what's going to become of this? And if we stop and we think about what we're thankful for, and we stop and we just give God thanks for what we have and what he's done and what he is, it changes our mind and it even changes our feeling. So you guys should try that next time, okay? If you're feeling scared or if you're feeling upset or kind of disappointed with things that you have, if you stop and think, okay, even if you say 5 things that I'm thankful for and start telling Jesus that, it will help you and change your day. Okay? So do you guys want to be like the 9 lepers or like the 1 leper?
The 1.
The 1? I agree. Me too. Should we pray real quick and ask Jesus to help us with that? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the examples that you've given us in your Bible about being thankful. And I pray that you would help us this week to remember to be thankful to you for what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go back to your seats now. Thank you. This way, babe. Oh, your shoes.
Thanks, Christy, for sharing that with us this morning, the praise time and also the children's lessons there. It is also a very great reminder, just even in our everyday life, to be thankful and grateful for what God has provided for us. Like I shared earlier, I think the Esch family is traveling today. So keep them in mind. See, there's a few others that aren't here. Anyway, we have Brother Ali sharing a word with us. And even though we're a little small, we will have a fellowship meal here. Just FYI, usually on first Sunday we have communion. We've decided to postpone that till in a week from now. And so when we have maybe the Eshes and a few other people here. So communion coming up in a week. Just a reminder again for the manned book study. Looks like it's June 5th, which I believe it is upcoming week, at John's house at 6:30, or the Saturday morning prayers at 7 a.m. Also, I guess just kind of a constant reminder about a youth retreat coming up, August 7 to 11. So keep that in mind, keep spreading the word. I'm not sure where we're at on as far as attendance so far, but I think we always got more room. Anyway, I want to just bow our head for a word of prayer, and I'll turn the time over to Brother Ali. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your goodness to us. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for what we've heard this morning. Lord, I just that we can be grateful and thankful for even the little tiny things in our everyday lives. Lord, we just thank you most of all for your son Jesus, for what he's done for us on Calvary. Lord, I just pray you be with my brother Lee. Lord, just anoint him with your spirit. Give him words to speak. Just open up our hearts, Lord, that we can hear from you. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Am I on? Can you hear me? Good morning. Why are you smiling? Why is everybody smiling today? Are you happy to see me, or is there something else? Well, you just discovered that I'm not really good at shaving, right? I was trying to do something, and it went down too far, so I had to take it off. And then I thought, maybe I can do the beard. It didn't work either, so this is a new me. My daughter, when she saw me last night, you know, after I shaved, she was like, Papa? Papa? I mean, she could recognize my voice, but the face didn't match, you know, the beard. So anyways, I hope you don't mind it. I guess, yeah, it doesn't matter, right? So I don't know who, I mean, I've heard like three times already that we're a small group. For me, it seems like 100 people because I'm nervous right now. You know, I see like there is a lot of people right now. So don't worry, we'll be fine. I would like to welcome, we have a friend here, guest friend. Don't worry, it's okay. I just say hi to you. What's your name?
Maddie.
Say that again.
Maddie.
Nice to meet you. Welcome. And we have my friend
Dayson.
Dayson. Let's welcome our friends today. Maddie, you want to come say something? I'm just teasing you. all right. We've been studying the book of Colossians. All right. And it's been a whole adventure. It's been, for me anyways, it's been great. I'm enjoying it. Some things anyways. Some other things are very challenging. And yesterday somebody asked me, so what are you going to share, you know, about tomorrow? And I was like, well, I'm going to share about the part that says, put to death what is earthly on you. And the first thing that it says is sexual immorality. This guy told me, good luck with that, talking about that. You know, and I'm like, why is it that it's hard to talk about sex? You know, even when I say the word right now in front of all of you, and also in front of the kids, it feels like, did he just say that word? Where did the word come from? Do you remember? Let's go to Genesis. I want to show you something. Because I was wondering, I was like, why is it hard? Why is it weird sometimes to even say it or to make a reference about that? You know, when God created everything, there is something really cool that I just, it sounds weird to say that I just learned, but I mean, I just noticed it, I guess. I've seen it before, right now, but right now it just, wow. It just came out of the Word of God. Chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to be, you know, jumping places here. God is creating the heavens and the earth, all right? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Pay attention to this phrase. God saw that it was good. All right? And then let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and he keeps going, and it was so. Verse 9, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Keep going a little bit more, and at the end of that, number 10, it says, God called the dry land earth, and the waters that gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Huh. Two things. They were good. And we keep going, all right, and let's go to, where am I? I should have highlighted them. Let the earth sprout, 11, the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed. Keep going at the end, the 12, the earth brought forth vegetation. I need to find it, what is it? At the end of 12, and God saw that it was good. Three times. And if you keep reading, you will see it again. God created animals, and he saw that it was good. God created the stars, and he saw that it was good. God created the birds and other things, beasts. And at the end of 24, it says, and God saw that it was good. Now, check this out. Check this out. Number 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over creeping things that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Number 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. All right? Be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, let me jump a little bit to the end of this part. What does it say? Because it said it was good. Creeps, and it was, and God saw everything that he had made. Okay, number 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was the evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, the idea of sexuality came from God. And actually, sexuality, it's a beautiful thing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to reproduce. It's an amazing thing that God created, and it's beautiful, and it's good. But what happened? The devil came and destroyed that image, or tried anyways, right? Now, talking about that subject is like, ooh, oh, hold on. That is weird, right? Because he's attacked something very important in all humanity, which is sexuality. So, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And the first thing, sexual immorality. You do know that when you want to make a point, the first thing that you say is like very important. Now, if we go back before this phrase, I mean, the beginning of verse 5, it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Hold on, are you saying that is something earthly in me? Yes. Because our nature, it got disrupted when men sinned. So we were all born after that, so that made us sinners. In our nature, guys, even as Christians, we can struggle with it. Can you imagine without the Holy Spirit in your life? Of course. That's one of the main things that everybody faces. This specific subject. So there are things in you that belong to this earth, that do not belong to the Lord, that do not belong to heaven. That's why at the beginning of chapter 3 it says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. All right? So because of that, put to death what is early in you. And the first one, sexual immorality. Isn't it that crazy? That something that was created for a purpose. It's a beautiful thing. Our sexuality, God gave it to us. He designed us that way. Interesting though, in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to go really quick and read it to you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. God, we already read that God created everything and it was good. Everything was good. You know, he was happy. Chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Huh. It's interesting that God is saying, oh man, this is good. Oh, this is good. I created this. This is good. This is good. He created man. This is good. But hold on. He's alone. Oh, that's not good. In his company. And by the way, he did not create another man. He created somebody that will be the perfect match to the man. And not only that, they can enjoy each other, and the outcome of that joy, it's a fruit. And that's how they can multiply. And that's how we ended up here. Because it's beautiful. Because God, sex, sexuality is beautiful. It was created by God. And He only does good things. Now you see it. Now you see it. Why I was like, how am I going to say this? It's almost weird to say that. But our minds are being transformed to be like Him. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out in the street and start talking sex, sex, sexuality, sex. I mean, that's going to be, hold it. I forgot one part. Let me tell you this. It is beautiful. And not only beautiful, it is perfect when it's done according to God's design. Did you notice that God created one man and one woman for Him? He didn't say, I'm going to create 25 women for Him. Right? Or another man for Him. Or an animal for Him. Sex is perfect when it's between a man and his wife. It's beautiful. It was designed by God that way. If it is outside of this, it's immoral. Then it becomes sexual immorality. It's not my idea, by the way. It's God's idea. That is His design. It is beautiful or it's perfect when you do it in my way, says the Lord. Not on your way. Not what you think or what you feel good. Right? Oh, this feels good. I remember this friend of mine, he was living with this girl. They were not married. And I was like, bro, how does that work? We're getting to know each other. Getting to know each other. I think you are like not only getting to know each other, but becoming one. According to the Bible. You see it? It's a good thing that I can be done wrong if it is not done according to God's way. So, sexual immorality, something that is not moral. And by the way, I'm not talking about the standards of society. Because according to society, right now, I mean, it's limitless, basically. There are no limits. All right? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if people started to do things like outside, like in front of everybody, not even hiding anymore. And I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Why? Because this word is lost. It is lost. So, the standard is God. The standard comes from Him. Impurity. Something that is contaminated or polluted. Unclean. Things that make you unclean. Have you ever, you know, maybe worked in your backyard and doing some gardening or whatever. And you know, you get dirty, all sweaty and stuff, right? And then you go take a shower. Ah, doesn't it feel good? It's like, man, this is good. Even you smell better now, right? It feels so good. Who wants to be unclean? I don't. It's disgusting, right? Put to death impurity and passion, a strong and powerful emotion or desire for something. Mostly talking about sexuality right now. Wow, you guys are very quiet. What's going on here? Is it like very? Am I going too strong, too hard? I mean, I want to show you love through this, and that's the reason why I'm doing it. Trust me, I took one step back when I was reading this, and I'm like, how am I going to talk about this? I mean, there are also kids around, and I'm aware of that. And how can I do this in a godly way? So I will accept any comments. Please do. If you think, Eli, I think you made a mistake here. That was not appropriate. Please do. I need it. This word is for me, by the way. Okay? If I'm saying, go ahead.
Could you read the whole verse, verse 5?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, all of them go together. Correct. Correct. Yes. No. Thank you. Yeah, all of them is like a group of you know things around the same subject. So evil desire. Hold on. Check this out. Evil desire. That means, okay, let me ask you this question. How many of you want bad things, wrong things for yourself? Nobody. Right? Now, how many of you want wrong or bad things for someone else? I mean, maybe someone might say, well, you know, I mean, even though it's not correct, but still. But at least I'm sure that nobody desires wrong things for themselves, usually. Nowadays, you know, sin has gone so far and much that I wouldn't be surprised, I guess. So wanting something wrong and wicked, right? Paul is saying that, guys, be careful with that. You're going to get so lost into this thing that you will actually desire things that are wrong for you. Right? Like, for instance, me, I'm a married man, and if I desire another woman, it might feel good to me, my flesh, but that is something, it's actually something wrong. It's going to hurt me. Be careful with those things. Evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, and of course, I had to do research about this word, covetousness. I hope I'm saying it right. Or I hope your ears understand what I'm saying. It's an excessive desire or excessive devotion to something. And of course, I feel like we can apply many of these things into different areas. You know, like idolatry. Like some people give their lives for their football team. that is sad. I mean, I don't mind if, you know, the national team plays against the U.S. Hopefully Mexico wins, but, I mean, even if they don't, I don't care. It's fine. It's just a game, right? So, on account of all these things that we just mentioned, right, of all these wrong things, sexual immorality, passion, evil desire, covetousness, the wrath of God is coming. Let me say that again. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Now, if there is one thing that you should be afraid of, is the wrath of God. Because wrath of God is a punishment or vengeance as a manifestation of anger. So these things are actually bothering, if, I don't know if that's the right word, the Lord. Now, let me tell you this. God, He's, how can we describe it? The most powerful being that existed, exists, and will ever exist. If there is one thing that you don't want, is to face the wrath of God. You will not have a chance. I will not have a chance against it. I mean, if God created the world, I think if He blinks one eye, He can destroy you easily and me. You know, it's not even like a first round, okay, I think I won. Second round, no, there is no rounds. When He just snapped His fingers, we're all gone. That is, we don't have a chance. So what are we going to do then? What do we do against it?
Repent.
We need to repent. Thank you. Exactly. We need to repent. But you know why? Not only repent. I mean, yes, we need to repent. Turn away from that. There is one piece. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus, the wrath of God was satisfied. Whew. That is the only way we can be saved of the wrath of God. Is in Jesus. Man, amen. Thank God. Thank Jesus for taking that. Now, this is the tricky part. Number 7, in these things, you too once walked when you were living in them. Let me say that again. In all these things that we're talking about, we all have struggled with. Struggle right now, or will struggle, or at least are susceptible, is that what I'm saying, right? Or prone to, is that similar? Okay, prone to or susceptible to struggle with. So if you're thinking, nah, not me. I mean, maybe, you know, the ones that are still not conscious about those things are like, oh, probably, right? But once you have the conscience about it, and once you know what's going on, it's there. And interestingly, this is one of those things that you don't have to go look for it. This thing will look for you. For instance, if you want, I don't know, you want to steal a chair. Please don't steal a chair. But if you want to steal a chair, you need to find a way, you know, like nobody's looking at you, seeing you, and suddenly, boom, you grab the chair, right? You have to come over here. With this subject, with sexual things, it's not like that. Don't worry. Wherever you go, it will go find you. It doesn't matter the time of the day. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you're above 50 or below 20, it doesn't matter. We all are under the attack of the world, of the enemy, and of the flesh. That's pretty heavy. It is heavy. Do you remember what happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed God? One of the first things that they got or acquired out of this situation was shame. It is shameful. And one of the first things that we experience when we go or when we allow those things to affect our hearts or we take a step forward or whatever, it is shame. This applies to all of us. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor. It doesn't matter if you read the Bible 10 hours a day. It doesn't matter if you pray the whole day. It does not matter anything. You are prone and susceptible to this subject. Have you ever heard, oh, this pastor left his wife? What do you mean? He's a man of God. How is that possible? Oh, this sister, you know, she left his family, her family, for another person. Hold it. How is that even possible? Let me tell you this. Did you know? I dare to say, I don't have all the statistics about it, but I dare to say that almost 100%, if not all of them, of the people that have struggled with alcohol, they didn't start with a whole load of alcohol. They started with a little bit. People that get into drugs, they didn't start with a whole bucket of drugs. They started with a little bit. Okay? And then it grows. People that started smoking, they didn't start with a whole box of a whole package of cigarettes. They started with one. Right? And then it starts consuming you, your heart. And then sooner than later, you don't know, and you're smoking like a train. It's the same with this thing. It will attack us little by little with small things. A little detail. And the stinky part about it is that it will stay in your head. And if you go over there, be careful. That's why Paul is saying you need to set your mind over there, not in the things that are here. And I mean, there are unfortunately many examples about these things. You know, I just want really quick. We had some friends, a family, missionaries. What do you think of missionaries? Missionaries in Mexico. Okay, think of this. People that left their country, went to Mexico, started a church. Man, they've been a blessing to the community. Everybody, you know, looks up at them because they're, wow, these guys are, they're bringing the word of God. All right, and then, known by many people, and we say a man of God, a woman of God, you know, they started a church, the church grew up, and suddenly, out of the blue, he leaves with another woman. How does that happen? Do you think that was like one day he was just, you know, very in love with his wife and perfect relationship, I'm going to say. Everything was going fine and suddenly, oh, I'm going to go with you. Yeah, let's do it. Bye, kids and wife. See ya. Do you think it happened like that? It did not. It started with something small. I don't know how, unfortunately. Exactly. But why? Because we all are susceptible to this. Now, and I'm not saying this to condemn you or myself. I want all of us to be aware of it. Because if you're aware of it, then, and you have Jesus Christ with you in your heart, then you can do something. Because if you're not aware of it, you're going to go for it. Let me share with you a little story. I worked, when I lived in Mexico City, I worked in a genetics lab. That sounds very fancy, huh? And there is a kind of experiment that we use a substance. Oh, I should have checked the word in English. It might be like ethidium or something like that. Bromuride. I don't know. I'm making the. I'll find the word later. This substance, what it does, it goes in between the DNA. You know the way we picture it is like a double chain. So this thing goes in between the chain of DNA, right? And when you put light on it, like UV, it shines, right? So this is an experiment to check the state basically of the DNA, if it is good or if it is all broken down or whatever. You know, I'm just trying to give you an idea. Okay, this substance is very dangerous because it goes in between the chain of DNA. And what it does, it changes the functionality of the DNA of your cells. Thus, you get cancer, right? Because that's basically what cancer is. It's a malfunctioning of your cells. So with this in mind, you can imagine, in my case, as a lab guy, I had to wear coat? You know, yeah, a white coat, and then like safety glasses and gloves, you know, and stuff to go work with this thing, because I don't want it in my body, right? I don't want cancer, right? So I'm doing this, boom, 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 boom. It looks like a jello, you know? Is that what you say, jello? Like, okay, it looks like that. It's transparent, okay? So we put this in a special kind of trash bottle, of course, because it's highly, highly contaminated. So one day, you know, I'm getting to the lab, and I saw the lady how do you call the person that cleans? The
janitor.
The janitor. She's, because she saw there were a couple of them, she didn't take the bag. She was taking the whole thing with her hands. And I just, through the roof, I'm like, excuse me, but what are you doing? And she's like, I figured it was easier to take the, you know, the gel in my hands like that. And I'm like, lady, I'm sorry, I need to explain something to you. I mean, that's probably my bad for not putting a big label, but everybody that knows that works in the lab knows that this is so dangerous. You do not touch it because you will get problems. So I explained, this is what happened, and gave the whole explanation that I just gave you. And of course she was like, whoa, so what can I do against it? And funny enough, the only way to do it is go outside and stay over there for a few hours, and the light of the sun will get rid of it. That's kind of interesting. So she went over there. I saw she went over there, and suddenly another person, and then another person, and then everybody was touching. I mean, all the janitors were touching the thing. So she was spreading the word out and told them, guys, I just found out that this is bad, that this is wrong. Right? Of course. Before she didn't know, so she did it. But then, now that she knows, she doesn't do it. Are you getting the point? Now that we know that it hurts, let's not do it. And I'm not saying that it's easy, but you can. In Jesus. In Jesus. So, how long have I been talking? Oh, man. I don't want to take. Is it okay? Please let me know. If you start snoring, just elbow that person and tell them, hey, don't snore. You can sleep without snoring. We all, okay, are susceptible to this. Number 8, but now you must put them all away. Now, sorry, I had to make a comment about this because when I learned the word must, okay, when I was going to classes, it was a really good, cool example. The teacher was like, okay, the difference between must and you should or have to is that must is so important, there are no options. You have to do it. It's an obligation. There is no option that you don't even have the time to say to. Does that make sense? Because we're learning English, right? So it's like you should do this, or you have to do this. You must to. No. You don't say must to. You say must. because it's like, you don't have the time to say the two. You have to do it. So you must put them all away. But then how? What do you mean? I mean, you're saying that it's in Jesus, that Jesus is going to do it for you. Wait. You still have your free will. Right? But if you put yourself under his authority and allow him to lead you, you see it? Now you can. You can do it in him. Anger, wrath, malice, or desire to harm somebody. Slander. I had to check slander. Oral communication, or to say something false and malicious statements that damage the reputation of someone else. We all walked in this. We all have done it. I know it sounds disgusting, right? It sounds awful. And obscene talk from your mouth. Even obscene talk from our mouth. I mean, guys, this standard is so high, it's impossible to fulfill it. But Jesus, that's why we can. I mean, we can't, but he can. And if we're in him, then we can. Does that make sense? It's him. Everything is about him. Now, number 9, do not lie to one another. It's crazy that he has to say that. Do not lie to one another. If I told you right now, how many of you like lying? Maybe you're lying right now, right? No. If I told you, if I ask you, how many of you have never told a lie? That would be his fifth one, basically, right? No, I mean, there is no way. Now, check this out. These people, they are believers. Okay? So how, why would you say to a believer, do not lie? Aren't we supposed to be like already transformed? Like already good, perfect? Why would you say that? If I ask you, would you like to lie? Do you want to lie to somebody right now? I'm guessing most of you are going to say no, if not that 100% of you are going to say no. I don't want to. Do you remember the second, I don't know if any of you were here, the second time, I think, or the third time that I shared with you guys, it was actually here, I think, when we just moved here. That preaching, I'm going to call it, was because of a lie that I told somebody. It was, and I promise you, it was not with a bad intention. The intention was to make up something a little bit, just to make it look a little bit nicer. You know what I'm saying? And by saying half the truth, you're saying the whole lie. The truth is the whole thing, or is nothing. Saying half the truth is an entire load of a lie. And I'm talking about 3 years ago. And I've been a Christian or following the Lord for 20 or something. How? Why? We're all susceptible to it. Seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. I love the fact that it says its practices. Not only, yeah, the old self, oh, okay, whatever that means, I guess, you know, now that I've been born again. No, all the practices too. And have put on the new self. Now, you know I like this part when I say it's going to be like, yeah, that's why Elias was saying this. Which is being renewed in knowledge. It's being renewed. I mean, not like when you clean shaven, everybody's just staring at you. Not in that way. I mean, I'm still the same guy. The only difference now is that you can tell that I've been gaining some pounds, right? You can tell. It's a lot of money, by the way, invested over here. So I'm trying to keep it with me. Renewed in knowledge But not like, okay, I'm here. I'm talking about knowledge, right? And then I'm a new person in the same place, but new. And then renewed again in the same place, or maybe moving a little bit around, but new? No. That renewal, this renewal in knowledge is after the image of its creator. You see the difference? Right? Because one day, I think this way, and maybe tomorrow I think a different way. It doesn't mean that it's good. It's just different. It's a new way of thinking. And then the day after tomorrow, I think a different way. No, it's not like that with the children of God. We're being renewed after the image of God. It's being renewed. Oh, wow, I see this now. So this is wrong. Okay, I will continue this path. And then we will be renewed again. And it sounds weird to explain it this way, right? Like as if it was a step, but that's the only way I can picture it. But you're following me. It's not only being renewed, it's being renewed after the image of its creator. Our minds, our knowledge, it's growing in that direction where he is at. That is why you can see back a couple years ago and you're like, whoa, man, and I was a Christian back then. And hopefully, in 10 years, when we look at us at this point, we'll be like, wow, I can tell I'm in a better place now. Because we're being renewed. We're being transformed after the image of our Creator. Here, there is no Greek and Jew. Maybe Mexicans, of course. You're not going to laugh at that joke? Come on. Help me. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. Your titles don't matter. All your efforts, right? Earthly efforts. Don't matter. If you're praying for 10 hours, it doesn't matter. If you're reading the Bible 24/7, you're still susceptible to this. So what we need is Christ. I mean, I'm not trying to say don't read the Bible. I'm not trying to say don't pray, right? I mean, I hope it makes sense. And if you have a question, let me know, all right? What I'm saying is the center of everything is Jesus. And I always keep giving the example of the tick and an animal. Just hold it. Just allow him to transform your mind and to change your heart. Okay? And you will be able to see the difference of you and yourself. Before, he will start renewing your mind. You will grow in knowledge of who he is, and you will become more like him. How much time do we? When did I start? Did you notice? No. Okay. Because I mean, we still have like 5 verses. Maybe I can go really quick through them. I mean, I feel like they should go together. But are you still awake or you want a break? No break? You're sure? We can have a break. Phil is not here. We can do whatever we want. Shall we have a break? No breaks. Okay, let's keep going then. Okay, so what do we do? Right? What do we do? Okay, Ellie, you already told us all the things. What are we going to do with it? Okay. Put on then. Well, there is another option. Put on then as God's chosen ones. Holy and beloved. This is beautiful. We're chosen by God. We are holy in him. And we are dearly loved by him. Oh my goodness. Isn't it that beautiful? We're talking about the Creator, the most powerful. He actually likes us. Not because of us. Hold it. I'm not trying to preach one of those things. Not because of us. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. Now you see how important Jesus is. He's the core. He's the center of everything. He is God himself. Now put on this, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. If you, let's do this really quick. Let's say there are two persons, okay? One of them, in his heart, in his life, in the expression of who this person is, are anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from this person. From this other person, compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Interesting, 5 and 5. Okay, if you had the opportunity, this is a very weird example, I know. If you had the opportunity of selecting one of them as your friend, which one would you go for? You want this guy with anger, wrath? You want this guy? No. Would you want this? Would you like this guy as a friend? Like your best friend, let's say. Your best friend, bro. Which one do you want? Let me give you a tip. This is a good one, right? You can tell. Okay. Which one would Jesus will select? Well, in case of Jesus, I feel like it would take both of them and transform them, right? I mean, but that's a good point. I know what you're saying. I agree with you. That's a good point. Okay. This one? This one. This is important. Check this out, my friend. This one, to be in this place, even though you can have good intentions and you want to do your best to be humble, if you want to do your best to have a compassionate heart, you can't. You cannot do it. You need Jesus. Right? Because Jesus is the source of love. He himself is love. Jesus is a sort of good. Is this making sense? Cool. Okay. Forgiving. So hold on. Patience. 13. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Okay, it's not an option. Must forgive. Now, let me tell you this. This is telling us that there will be things. There will be issues. We will have differences. Okay? And we should be able to come together, talk, walk through it, forgive one another. Instead of saying like, he told me this, she told me that, you, blah, 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 and okay, go figure. I don't care. Right? If we have a compassionate heart, and we are humble, we have meekness and patience, I think we can go over there together, right? And walk together in love. And above all these, put on love. Yes, of course. Which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is beautiful. Perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Can you imagine? The peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Oh man. How many of you have lived your Christian life, your relationship with God, but at some point didn't have peace? I'm going to have to say me. You know, because I believe so many random things that did not help me in my relationship with God. Like I shared with you, when I started, you know, to my relationship with God, the church that I attended, it was a sin to go to the movie theater. I mean, you can imagine. That kind of rules. All right? You were not supposed to wear, I don't know, I mean, your sleeves should go a little bit, I don't know, I mean, random things like that, that the only thing that they do is to block your relationship with the Lord. And what you do is you focus on those rules instead of focusing on Him, right? So, that's what should rule our hearts. And be thankful. I mean, perfect, you know, what Christy shared with the kids. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. the word of Christ to dwell in us. Not only a little bit. All right? Like, I mean, yeah, I read the Bible once. I remember that. I don't even know what it was about, but, you know, the Bible is good. No. Richly. You know, the difference between just, okay, something, when something is rich, it's huge. I mean, it's easy. We talk about money. Somebody with a lot of money, wow, you're rich. That's awesome. You have extra and more than you need. Right? And when you have like maybe $1 and that's it for the whole year, whoa, how are you going to make it? The difference is huge. Richly. Richly. The word of God richly in us, in our hearts. Teaching one another, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God, in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wow. Can you see? Is it easy or hard for you to see the need that we have of Jesus in our lives? It's incredible. It's just incredible. We need Jesus all the time, all day, everywhere. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. Right? Because apparently, Paul is telling these people, to the Colossians, you guys, look over there. That's what you need to do. You're looking, searching in the wrong place. And these guys were Christians. We need to look, seek the things above. Brothers and sisters, we need Jesus so much. So much. So much. All of us. All of us. I hope this word gives you hope. That's my desire. And it doesn't make you feel like, well, I guess I'm lost and that's it. You know, I'm going to go to hell, I guess. No. There is an opportunity. We can repent from our sins, give our lives to Jesus, and allow Him to transform our hearts. And now we are the body of Christ. We have one another. Right? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this time together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, and I just pray that You continue Your work in our hearts, renewing our minds. Lord, help us see these things, be aware of it, and also give us the strength to walk out of those immoral things. You've created everything, even sex and sexuality, and it's something beautiful. And we want to see it that way. We want to live it that way, the way You have designed it. Father, I pray that You are with us today. Holy Spirit, please keep working in our hearts. Keep transforming our minds and our hearts to be more like You, Jesus. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Brother Lee, for the word there. For me, it just very clearly brought out how much we need Christ. We see our selfishness in us and our fleshly desires and how we need Christ to transform our lives, our mind. Anyway, I don't think there's any further announcements. So I think we have a meal prepared. So if you want to stand and ask the blessing on the new meal. Christopher, could I ask you to close this in prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for being with us. And it's true that we're gathered together in your name. You're in our midst. And it's been a sweet time hearing your word. And help us just to live this out, to love one another as you commanded us, to love you, the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, mind, our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. It covers pretty much, and help us to learn to love ourselves, that we can treat others the way we want to be treated. And may we continue in a fellowship in your spirit this day. Bless your name. Amen.
Thank you. You're dismissed.